chapter 5, give, give, give.
Giving is the secret sauce to everything you want unlocking. Giving your time, giving your energy, giving your money, giving when you have nothing to give is even more powerful. Giving when you have nothing to give unlocks something in the universe that tells it, I know I will be replenished. I know more will come to me. I know everything I want, I already have, so I can give. Let me give you a short story. I remember when I was living at my mother's house in Torrance, and I had been designing for a lot of brands and companies, and things just kind of weren't going the way I wanted them to. I wasn't really making much money. I was hopping on the bus every day going to LA, and I was hustling and doing everything I could to make my way in this industry. I was at every party, I was at every event. I was designing for maybe 10 brands simultaneously. I was interning, I was doing everything. And I was a bit exhausted. And I got a call from my uncle, Mordecai, who lives in Israel. And he told me something that changed my life. He said, David, how much money do you have? And I said, $200. He said, I want you to give it away. I want you to give every dollar of it away. I said, well, how am I supposed to eat? How am I supposed to hop on the bus? How am I supposed to do anything? He said, don't worry about it. Just give it all away. And I also want you to do something else, which I thought was funny. He says, whenever you're in line, anywhere, I want you to let the person behind you get in front of you. I said, okay. He said, just let people get in front of you and give away all your money. Now me, I took that literally, and that's exactly what I did over the period of the next 3 days, is I'd be in line at Food for Less, and there'd be people behind me, and I would go to the back of the line, and I'd let people go in front of me. And sometimes when I got to the front of the line, I'd pay for people's groceries. I'd give money to the kid on the bus stop. I'd give money to everyone. $5 here, $10 here, $1 here. I gave away all the money I had. And let me tell you what happened after that. About 2 days after I gave away all my money and I had nothing left, I was in a car with my friend, Raphael Young, to be exact, my first mentor in the fashion industry. Shout out, Raph. Love you, man. We were on our way to some photo shoot, and I believe he was styling them or something, and I was going to tag along. And we're on the 110 freeway, and I closed my eyes, and I had this final destination moment. I swear, I closed my eyes and I seen this massive 30-car pileup on the 110 freeway. It was just complete and utter destruction and chaos and death. And all these cars just kind of exploded right in front of my eyes. Now me, I go with my intuition. That's one thing I would say I've done and I will always do, because it has saved my life countless times. Anytime I see something or I feel something, I go with it. So right when I seen that, I said, yo, hop off the freeway. He's like, what you talking about? I said, yo, hop off the freeway. I need to get out the car. He's like, yo, bro, you tripping. I'm like, man, listen, I gotta go. I'll see you later, but can you please just get off the freeway for me? He veered off at the next exit, which was downtown. I believe it was 4th Street. It was whatever street the Marriott was on. But anyway, he got off the freeway. and he pulled into the parking lot of the JW Marriott Hotel downtown. I say my goodbyes, I walk into the Marriott, and I sit down in their lobby. They have this huge lobby. And I had my sketchbook with me, which I frequently brought everywhere I went. So I just kind of sat down and just started to draw. Out of nowhere, this African kid named Gabriel walks up to me and he says, "Hey, can I see your art?" I say, "Okay." I show him my sketch pad and he's like, "This is amazing. Can you draw me?" I said, "Of course I could draw you." Didn't think twice about it. I drew him. He had the biggest smile I've ever seen a human have. The whitest teeth. He was just a beautiful human being. He said, "I need to show the people I came with this. Will you be here?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll be here." He said, "Okay, I'm going to come back." I said, "All right, sure." I continue drawing. And then the next events that follow completely changed my life forever. I see this 6'2" white older gentleman, maybe in his early 70s, late 60s, wearing SpongeBob pajama pants with a t-shirt with a hole in it, no shoes, but his toenails were painted gold. He had about a 7-8 carat yellow diamond ring on, some Cartier glasses on, and a head full of white hair. And he walked up to me, he got on his knees, and he grabbed my feet, and he said, "You're the one. You're the one. I've been looking for you. We've been looking for you." And I'm like, "Get up, man. What are you talking about?" "You're the one," he exclaimed. "You're the one." He gets up and I say, "Yo, talk to me. What do you mean I'm the one?" He says, "I've been searching a lifetime for a genius who's gonna help me rebuild the city." And I said, "The city?" He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. "I have a meeting here in an hour. Would you be able to join me?" And I said, "What is the meeting?" He says, "Don't worry, just come." I said, "Okay, where's the meeting?" He said, "It's on the penthouse floor of the hotel." And I said, "You want me to come?" He says, "Yes. You are going to be the new creative director of a mission that is about to change the world." I said, "All right." I mean, I had nothing better to do. I wasn't going to the photo shoot anymore, right? So an hour passed. I talked to the people at the front desk. They buzzed me up to the penthouse floor. I walked down a long corridor. I have no idea what I'm walking into, but I have faith. A lot of people wouldn't have went. Most people that I know and I've told this story to told me I would have never went. But sometimes you gotta go. Follow your heart. It'll always lead to something magical. So I'm walking down this long corridor to this hallway with these big double doors. I open the doors and there's this huge conference room. And there's all these older, white, rich guys. They all look like they have a couple M's in their bank account sitting around the desk. They're all in, like, Brioni suits. And, you know, some of them are older. Some of them, they look like maybe lawyers or I don't even know at this time in my life. You know, I was younger. I didn't even know how to identify what they did, but I knew that they had money. And here you got David, which is his name, sitting at the head of the table, feet cocked on the table, with no shoes on, gold toenails, just smiling. And he says, "Everyone, this is my new creative director. Meet David Sebastian." And I said, "Hey, you guys, how you doing?" And he's like, "This is the person that's going to help us design the city. He is capable, he is culpable, and he's going to do it." And I see Gabriel on the side of the table, this young African kid just smiling with them beautiful teeth. Is just, I have no idea what's going on, right? So then he says, David, I know you probably don't know what's going on. How much money do you want me to deposit in your account to let you know that this is real? And the second you see that it hits your account, you have to hop on a flight to Arizona and we have to start our mission. Now, the first thing that hit my mind was $1 million, right? But then I looked at all these rich white people around, and I didn't want to be a quote-unquote nigga. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be like, $1 million, you know? I didn't want to be, what's that word? Gluttonous. Anyways, but then I was like, $50,000. $50,000 would suffice. I said, $50,000. He said, okay, perfect. And I was so mad that he said, okay, perfect so fast, because that lets me know I could have said $100,000. I probably could have said $250,000. I probably could have said $1 million. That is a mistake that I will never make again. $50,000. I gave all my information to Gabriel. I shook everyone's hands and I left. I hopped back on the bus to go to my mom's house and I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning, right? I went to go use the restroom. I checked my bank account balance at Bank of America and it said, you have $50,000 in your checking account. I said, I could feel chills rush down my spine. My face went numb. I was overjoyed. Words cannot express how elated I was in that moment. I screamed to my mom, 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 you won't believe what just happened. I just got $50,000. I met this crazy dude yesterday. I was elated. Long story short, I hopped on the flight. I got to Arizona and I started my journey. I'll talk more about my journey in another audiobook in the future, but this all goes back to this. When I had no money, I gave it all away. I didn't hold on to it. I was of service. I let other people go in front of me. I had gratitude. That is the perfect mixing pot of emotions to manifest and materialize things that you don't even know are in front of you. There are blessings that are in store for you that you have no idea how big they are, how wondrous, how beautiful, how magical. All you have to do is be in alignment with yourself and with the universe in order to receive them. So I don't care how much money you have right now. I'm not telling you to give it all away, but find space, find the time to give. Don't hold on to your money like it's your life. Don't hold on to it like it's everything you have, because you are sending a subconscious message to the universe that this is all you have, this is all you're gonna get, and you have to hold on to it. When you're free with your money, when you allow your money to flow to other people's hands who might need it, you're telling the universe, I'm abundant, I'm rich, I'm successful, more money will come to me, and it always will.